In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Double-Edged Sword, a Christian podcast ministry presented by Father Gennard Lazar. Father Gennard is a parish priest of the Mud-Edda Parish of the Assyrian Church of the East in Turlock, California. Here's Father Gennard.
A suggested topic by one of our listeners was becoming a vessel of reconciliation. I mean, after all, we are the children of God according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 27, through our faith in Jesus Christ and our baptism. And according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, one of our many obligations is to be makers of peace. Blessed are they, says the Lord, who make peace, for they will be called the children of God. And St. John Chrysostom comments on this verse. He writes, here Jesus not only responds that they, meaning the disciples and us, should not feud and become hateful to one another, but he is also looking for someone, something else and something more, that we bring together others who are feuding. And again, he goes on, he promises a spiritual reward. What kind of a reward is it? That they themselves shall be called children of God. For in fact, this was the crucial work of the only begotten, to bring together things divided and to reconcile the alienated. St. John Chrysostom. The question can be presented in many ways, ways that can reflect the significance of being a vessel of reconciliation, ways that highlight the obligatory factor of being a vessel of reconciliation. And one of those being, how do I continue and live my title as a child of God? Or better still, how do I become like the only begotten Son of God who reconciled us to God when we were his enemies? 2 Corinthians 5:18. But let's just keep this discussion according to the initial request and question. So to begin with, to become a vessel of reconciliation, we need to place ourselves, that is, our minds, our hearts, our intentions, our aim, our purpose, our bodies and our souls, into the all-sanctifying, all-righteous path of God, to be directed according to his will, not ours, according to God's perfect will and his wisdom and his power. We need to have the same love and desire and intention as did Christ, the glorious reconciler, through whom God the Father reconciled us unto himself. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Why? Because so God loved the world. John 3:16. We need to first possess, we need to value and nurture the type of love that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. The love that possesses the quality of not rejoicing in evil, but rejoicing in the truth. You see, beloved, it is evil that brothers and sisters in Christ, or biological brothers and sisters, are not at peace with each other, and at times over the most petty and puny of things, and at times even enemies. Just as it is evil, or it was evil, as when man and God became enemies in the Garden of Eden. Why? Why did we become the enemies of God? Because the righteousness, holiness of God could not be at odds with the evil and corrupted nature of men. So there was animosity, and that is evil. What goodness is there in enmity and animosity, in hatred? We need to determine and acknowledge that that which is good and that which is evil. And this commands, this knowledge commands in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So off the bat, we need to discern if it's a good thing or it's an evil thing for brothers and sisters, friends, family, relatives, neighbors to be at each other's throats. When we determine if it is good, which is not obviously, then that we're in danger. But when we acknowledge that, no, that is evil, then we can take our first step to be that vessel of reconciliation, to bring peace. We need to call good, good. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe! Why in the Assyrian language? Why, Eloh? When Jesus says, and the Bible says, woe, we need to be very careful and very cautious. We're in danger. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, and put light for darkness and darkness for light, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We need to acknowledge, we need to recognize the good or the evil in one relationship that we're trying to be a vessel of reconciliation. We need to sacrifice if need be. Sacrifice our reputation. So if you, right at this moment you're thinking, oh, there's a lot, the onus is truly on the person that wants to be that vessel of sacrifice of reconciliation. Amen to that. You know, Jesus just didn't just come down from heaven and said, blew his holy, all life-giving breath and said, you're all reconciled. No, he had to go to the cross. You know, when St. Paul says the cross, even the cross, that's when he says, until death, even until the death of the cross, he's trying to emphasize that the cross was a sign of suffering, a sign of ridicule, a sign of pain, a sign of unrighteousness. So when we want to become a vessel of reconciliation, we need to be prepared to sacrifice reputation, favoritism, friendship, and at times even kinsmanship, you know, families and relatives. What I mean is calling a spade, regardless of who that person is, when trying to bring peace and reconciliation. You see, Christ was not accepted by his own relatives. We read in Mark chapter 3, verse 21. And all his relatives heard, and they went out to take hold of him, for they were saying, he has gone out of his mind. Relative, not family. Relative. There's a difference between a relative and a family member. Chizma ubetuta. So Christ was not accepted by his own relatives. Why? Because he was speaking the truth. So we need to be truthful as well. Not show partiality at all. Just as there is no partiality with God, we read in Romans chapter 2, verse 11. We need to have the same feelings for both the victim and the victimizer. You see, the prodigal son, when the prodigal son returned and the father received him, by the way, the father didn't say to the prodigal son, I'm sorry, son, there is nothing I have to repay for what you have done. Someone has to repay what you have done, the damage that you have caused, the relationship brokenness that you have caused. No, he didn't. He embraced him. And the father had the same love for the prodigal son, just as the same love for the son that was obedient. And yet, yes, he says to the elder son, everything that I have is yours. But he did the same with the prodigal son. So we need to have the same feelings for both the victim and the victimizer. We need to have love, compassion, understanding. We need to be ready to listen more than we speak. James chapter 1, verse 19. Our next episode is about taming the tongue, and we're going to have a look at this. We need to be prepared to listen, not to make a partial judgment, judgment in partiality and in haste. We need to listen. At times, we need to absorb and we need to think about, ponder about the situation. You know, for 3 years, Jesus was on earth, praise and glory be to his name, for 3 years. He was in communication with his Father, in communication with man as well. And the process of reconciliation took 3 years and it was completed on the cross, the sacrifice that I was talking about. And he listened. He would listen to everyone. He would entertain everyone's complaint and even those who came to attack, to oppose him. He would listen and then he would speak. When Christ was captured, you know, one of the traditions and one of the fathers writes that from the point that Christ was captured, he spoke no more. It was as though he was a sacrificed lamb. So that's how they count the 3 days that he was resurrected on the third day. When Christ was captured and brought to the tribunal, he didn't say much, did he? He was listening. He didn't say much. He was very quick to hear, but slow to speak. Why? Because he was assured. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the ridicule that he had to receive and accept, but he knew the glory that was awaiting him was resurrection, was victory over death, Satan, and sin. We need to be able to soothe and be cautious not to aggravate. Sometimes when we want to bring peace and be that mediator, the tribunal, we put our foot in it. We make things worse. We go in, the intention that we have, the aim that we have, we go in there through our mind, our own thoughts, our own understanding, our own power, as opposed to resorting to God's understanding, knowledge, and power, and righteousness. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, quotes, a soft word turns away anger, and a hard word arouses wrath. We need to have the mindset of Jesus Christ. As I said previously, it's very important. We need to value peace and reconciliation. We need to understand that when there is no peace, no reconciliation, and there is, as I said, animosity, it is evil. God is not pleased. God is not appeased and does not take any joy in animosity, family breakups, friendship being split, and hatred, and confusion, and hurt. Because for God so loved the world that he gave up his only begotten Son. That's the mindset we need to have. And yes, just when you thought Rabbi has forgotten his cliche, here it is, praying. We need to be prayerful. Most importantly, we need to pray for the reconciliation of the two people. You know, we're going into a battle. This is the spiritual war. Someone has requested that we speak about the spiritual and the secular warfare we have. Yes. By the way, Adrena's here today. Yeah, we are going into a spiritual battle because there is evil. And when there is evil, there is Satan and his demons that are trying to aggravate, turn up the flame of evil and hatred. So before we try to even attempt to reconcile, we must pray and be in that mindset, in that spiritual realm, in that spiritual situation where we represent Jesus Christ in that relationship. And how do we do that? We need to rely only on Jesus Christ. We need to understand, beloved, that either the victim or the victimizer are both sinners. They are of a fallen, broken, corrupt nature. And when you want to step up and make peace, God bless you. That is when we are the children of God, but we live and we portray that sonship with God when we, amongst many other things, perform that commandment, that blessing. If we want the blessing, we want to gain the blessing, Take the blessing that we truly become makers of peace and not aggravators of the situation. Woe to those who enjoy evil. Woe to those, Isaiah writes, who call evil good and want to even flame even more the fire of evil. Woe to those people. But blessed, truly blessed are those who make peace, because they become like Christ. You know, there is one of the aspects of being Christ-like. That's why we call ourselves Christians, Christ-like. Let me give you an example. Now, this was taken both ways. But personally, this is my personal take. During the ceremony of the inauguration of the new patriarchate of the Assyrian Church of the East in Erbil, His Grace Mar Abras was presenting his speech in the Kurdish language, because there was a lot of people from the Kurdish government there. While he was speaking, the Islamic call to prayer was heard. Mar Abras stopped. Now, for many reasons. One being that while that is going on and Mar Abras is presenting his speech, there would be an interruption and people would not understand or hear clearly what Mar Abras is talking about. But it's also taken in a good gesture, in a Christian gesture, that Mar Abras stopped talking until it was over. And today I was reading some of the comments. It was a post that had about 50-something thousand views and 1,000-something comments. And what I would read from the non-Christians even, that they would comment that this is the respect and the love and the peace that Christians have. See, there it is. This is being Christ-like, beloved. Not being stubborn. We don't need to be stubborn and we don't need to be always in competition. We don't need to. We just need to portray the love, the respect that Christ gave the entire world. Remember, God gave His Son for the entire world. The Son is there. I'm sorry to say it this way. It's a bit lightly, chasdi. Lord, have pity on me. The Son is there for the taking. Grace is there for the taking. All we need to do is believe and we receive it. So when we want to be Christ-like, one of many ways is also be makers of peace. So right at this moment, while you're vacuuming, and I always mention this, while you're washing the dishes, or you're just sleeping in your room on your bed and you're just looking at the ceiling and you're listening to this podcast, or you're driving, be careful, always be cautious when you're driving. Think about it. Who do you know that are not on good terms at the moment? Maybe not enemies, but still not on good terms. Who do you know that right at this moment are enemies at each other's throats, locking horns every time? Well, you are a child of God. You want to be blessed by the blessings that Jesus has there for the taking as a child of God? You know, maybe think about being that peacemaker. But before you do, before you take that step, go back and re-listen to this episode. And then when you have prayed and even fasted, because beloved, as I said, evil, when you hear the word evil, we must always remember Satan and his demons. And Christ has commanded us that when we want to attack, when we want to go against these demons, we need to do it through prayer and fasting. And if you're successful, praise and glory be to Jesus Christ. Don't take credit. You can't take credit. We cannot take credit for being the peacemakers. The only credit we have is that God looks at us as His true children. Why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Okay, so you're just presenting Jesus in that equation, in that circumstance. But when we do become successful, as I said, and, you know, the two parties make all men's meet and they let bygones be bygones, then glory be to Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, we can do this. Why would Jesus provide this blessing if He knew that we could not do this? We can do it through His strength, through His wisdom, through His knowledge, through the righteousness that is evident in the scriptures and in the church liturgy. So do we just stand back and become more aggravators? I got it right. Aggravators of the situation, or do we become the true children of God who bring that soothing peace so that the peace of Jesus Christ, which supersedes all knowledge, all understanding, will overcome and be triumphant? Praise and glory be to God, the Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. One last thing, please also don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. If you'd like to suggest future episodes or give us detailed feedback, please visit the link in the description or on our Instagram, linktr.ee/double-edged sword. God bless you all.